It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In the book of John, we see the fulfilling of many scriptures. But I told you last time that we would look at a scripture in the Old Testament. Now, maybe you've looked it up. I pray that you have. But I told you I would let you know where the scripture was found that we looked at last time. We didn't look at that scripture, but we looked at the scripture in the book of John, chapter 19, where it refers to scripture. And in verse 23 of John 19, it says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was woven, was without seam, woven from the top throughout." Notice verse 24. "They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it," that's the coat, "but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." Well, the scripture that's referred to here is in Psalm 22 and verse 18. It's in the Old Testament. It says, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Now, Jesus didn't tell these soldiers to do that. They did it. And this was a fulfillment of Scripture because it had been prophesied of many, 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 many years before this took place. And that's another reason I know this is the Word of God, because it fits together. It's like a glove fitting a hand. And it's even closer than that. It's even better than that, because you cannot find fault with the Scripture. The Scripture is fulfilled. And we've seen that in this section of Scripture right here, where the Old Testament bears out what took place in the New Testament. Once again, I remind you, these soldiers that cast lots upon the vesture of Jesus Christ, they did not know the Scripture. They were Roman soldiers, and they did not know that they were actually fulfilling what God had written in the Old Testament. We pick up our study now, and we know that Jesus had been crucified at this point, and he was on the cross, and something happened. Now, he looked at one of his disciples, the disciple he loved, and I believe that was John the Apostle. He told John to take care of his mother, to watch out for her. And the Bible says that John took care of her, and she went to his home. Well, now, in verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." Well, here's another prophecy. This is something else that we see a fulfillment of the Old Testament. We find that in Psalm 69:21. Remember, he thirsted. He was a human. He needed the same thing that you and I need. He needed water. He needed food while he was on this earth. But he needed water, especially right now. He thirsted. Now, I said the last time that I don't know if this was some form of punishment or some sort of something that they were trying to do to Jesus to further his agony. But I'm also told that this could be also something like a sedative or something like that to help him. I do not believe that. I believe that Jesus took the full force of the pain. I believe he took the full force of everything that was laid upon him on the cross of Calvary. But we see the fulfillment in this section of Scripture, John chapter 19, and we see that was prophesied of in Psalm 69 and verse 21. It says, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." They gave me gall for my meat. They ridiculed him, they mocked him, and they just mistreated Jesus Christ. "They gave me also gall for my meat." And then he said, "In my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Once again, we see the fulfillment of prophecy here, where Jesus, he thirsted. And what did they bring him? They didn't bring him water. They brought him vinegar. Well, notice verse 30 now in John chapter 19. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus had finished what he came to do. He finished. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And he was about to go to the grave because he was dead and he would be buried. Verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now, they would break the legs of those who were on these people who had been crucified on the cross, on the crosses that they, as they hung. This would have been done for other people as well who hung on the cross. The Jews said, this is our Passover. This is a high day coming up. So break their legs. And the reason they would want their legs broken is because they would no longer be able to push up and fill their lungs full of water. Their legs would help them to push up and fight for that breath that they needed, the breath that they needed that would fill their lungs so they would stay alive. So they would break the legs so they could not brace themselves any longer. And so therefore they would suffocate and die. Well, notice what happened. Verse 32. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first. They came to the first robber, the first thief who was hanging on the cross, and they broke his legs. And of the other, which was crucified with him, they broke his legs. Now, it's something that the soldiers would break the legs of one person, well, let's say on the right hand of Jesus, on the right cross, and then they would break the legs of the person on the left side of Jesus. Well, why didn't they do it in order? Why didn't they break the first man's legs and then break Jesus' legs and then break the legs of the other thief, the robber, that was on the third cross? Well, I believe once again that was a plan of God. We study this and we find that the Bible says this in verse 33, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs." Now, this is a fulfillment of Scripture once again, that not a bone would be broken. And I ask you once again, get into the Old Testament and find out where this is found, where no bone would be broken of Jesus Christ. This was another fulfillment of Scripture, the Word of God, that no bone would be broken. So Jesus did not have his legs broken, and there was never a bone broken of Jesus Christ. Now notice once again, verse 33, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Now Jesus was already dead. He didn't have to have this done to him to kill him. He was already dead. Remember, he had cried out just a few, I don't know how long it had been before this, but he cried out, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. He died right then. He died before they could break his legs. But this one soldier came by, and I believe he did this to ensure that Jesus really was dead. He stabbed him with the sword. Of course, Jesus was already dead. And let me interject quickly here that God did not die. Jesus, the human, died. But the God-man, God, Jesus, God, did not die. God will never die. God, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, will never die. He is God. So therefore, he will never die because he is God. But the human, Jesus, died on the cross of Calvary. You say, "Well, I don't understand that. I don't understand everything either. I don't know how that can be. I don't know how Jesus could be God and be man at the same time." But God says it's true, and I believe God. I believe the Scripture. And you need to believe it, because what God says is true. The Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." I can think a lot of things in my mind, But unless the Scripture bears out what I think and what I say, it is not of God. But everything the Scripture says, it is of God. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The man died, but God never died. God never dies. He's always alive. Verse 35, and he that saw it bear record. Now, this is something after he was stabbed, after they stabbed the body of Jesus, Jesus' body was dead. There came out water and blood. And then he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. Why? It's in the Word of God. His record is true. It's found true. And he knoweth that he saith is true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. There's the bones again. The bone would not be broken. Go in and check this out and find out where this is found in the Bible, where a bone would not be broken. And verse 37 says, and again, another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. We see the proof, another proof that the Word of God is the Word of God, because the things that I've spoken here and that I've read, the things that took place with Jesus here was prophesied of hundreds of years before. And it came to pass. No one got out the Bible as such. No one got out the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, or the Psalms. They never took out those books and looked at it and said, okay, now let's don't break his legs, because the Bible says that we should not break his legs, or any other thing that the Scripture was fulfilled by here. They did not open the Scripture and say, let's don't do this so the Scripture can be fulfilled. The Scripture was fulfilled because God prophesied of it. And it took place as Jesus was crucified. Now notice, verse 37, and again another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. In other words, he gave permission. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Now, next time we'll pick up here, but let me go back and remind you that the Scripture was fulfilled. Look at verses 35 through 37 and find those Scriptures that said the Scripture was fulfilled because of these certain things that took place. Study to show yourself approved. Don't be lazy. Get into the Word of God and let God lead you. Now, I remind you that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can look at the Bible and you can understand history. You can look at it and you can understand what God is saying as concerning what took place with Jesus. But you don't understand the spiritual aspect of the Scriptures. You don't understand fully what God is saying. The one thing that you can fully understand is that you're lost and you need a Savior, that you are on your way to a devil's hell. Jesus took that for you. He took your punishment for you, that you could go to heaven, that you could escape. You could escape hell. And you need to trust him today. And one of the reasons that you trust him is not so much to stay out of hell, but thanking him for dying for you on the cross, for being grateful that he thought enough of you personally to give his life, to shed his blood for you. You need to bow your head where you're at and trust him as Savior today. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Pray a prayer and ask God to save you. Get serious with God. He wants to get serious with you and save your soul.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.